The U.S. invasion of Iraq, Army Lieutenant Colonel James Scudieri wrote later, may be the most planned operation since D-Day on 6 June 1944 and Desert Storm in 1991. The irony is that in 18 months of planning, the key question was left substantially unaddressed. What to do after getting to Baghdad? Franks, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Feith, and other top officials spent well over a year preparing to attack Iraq, but treated almost casually what would come after that. I think people are overly pessimistic about the aftermath, Wolfowitz flatly stated in an interview in December 2002. At first, in the summer of 2002, the ball was tossed to the exhausted planning staff at Central Command, which had just finished invading Afghanistan and then written two versions of a plan to invade Iraq. End of July, we just finished the second plan, and we get an order from Joint Staff saying, "You're in charge of the post-war plan," recalled Colonel John Agoglia. They were flabbergasted. At that point, they thought the invasion would be launched in just 6 months. We said, "Oh, shit," did a mission analysis and focused on humanitarian issues, such as minimizing the displacement of people, stockpiling food to stave off famine, and protecting the infrastructure of the oil fields, he said. The decision to place the Defense Department, whether at the Pentagon or at the Central Command headquarters, in charge of post-war Iraq may have doomed the American effort from the start. As a subsequent Rand Corporation study put it, overall, this approach worked poorly because the Defense Department lacked the experience, expertise, funding authority, local knowledge, and established contacts with other potential organizations needed to establish, staff, support, and oversee a large multi-agency civilian mission. It wasn't that there was no planning. To the contrary, there was a lot, with at least three groups inside the military and one at the State Department working on post-war issues and producing thousands of pages of documents. But much of the planning was shoddy. There was no one really in charge of it, and there was little coordination between the various groups. General Franks appeared to believe that planning for the end of the war was someone else's job. The message he sent to Rumsfeld's subordinates, he wrote in his autobiography, was, "You pay attention to the day after, and I'll pay attention to the day of." The result would be that while there was much discussion and endless PowerPoint briefings, there wouldn't be a real plan for post-war Iraq that could be implemented by commanders and soldiers on the ground. To handle the stepped-up load of planning for post-war Iraq, Franks created a new office, Joint Task Force 4, under Brigadier General Steve Hawkins, an Army engineer. For months, Hawkins had scores of staff planners working on Phase 4. That is, the phase that followed Phase 3's major combat operations, but failed to produce much. "We were told that JTF-4 would be a standing task force," recalled Agoglia. "We thought that it would be the core of planning for a post-conflict headquarters. Instead, it was Steve Hawkins and 55 yahoos with shareware who were clueless." Despite months of work, they didn't produce a plan, Army Lieutenant General Joseph Kellogg said. They may have war-gamed it, but planned it? Nope. That may seem a harsh verdict, but it is borne out by a look at the classified PowerPoint briefings JTF-4 produced. It is fashionable to criticize the U.S. military's heavy reliance on PowerPoint, but the 32 slides in the JTF-4 summary of planning for post-war Iraq are extreme in their incoherence, with unexplained distinctions between military success in Phase 3 and strategic success under civilian lead in Phase 4. Interestingly, another briefing on reconstruction issues noted in an aside that the Army experience in Bosnia and Kosovo indicated that the post-war situation in Iraq would require around 470,000 troops, more than triple the number that actually would be deployed. But no one appears to have informed other military planners about the flimsiness of CENTCOM's Phase 4 work. A classified pre-war briefing by the next lower headquarters, the Coalition Forces Land Component Command, CIFLC, on its own Phase 4 plans, breezily noted that it was working with CJTF-4 to ensure seamless transition.